Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I'm coming to you on the phone lines. 1 second, Chris, you're up first. Chanticleer John wrote, well, if you talked about Dana Holgorsen to Houston, is that a step down? Do you believe he left because the cupboard might be bare? You know, John, I have talked about it. I think it's there are multiple factors. I think it's unusual. I think it's really unusual for a coach to move without penalty, without demotion, without being pushed down from a Power 5 level to a Group of 5 level. It's exceedingly rare. And having said that, I think West Virginia is a bad situation. I just do. I think it's a bad job. I just, again, you have a university that's located 2,000 plus miles from the geographic base of the conference it's playing in. I mean, it's just, it's unthinkable. I mean, and I don't see how you win from a recruiting standpoint. None of it makes any sense. I mean, it was a bad fit all along. It is still a bad fit. West Virginia belongs in the ACC. Until you fix that, I just don't think it's a good job. Therefore, and plus it's my understanding that Holgorsen has roots in that Houston area too. So it may be those elements. I mean, I think certainly Holgorsen thinks it's probably a lot easier to recruit to Houston out of the pool of talent in Texas than it is to recruit in the Big 12 to West Virginia. So I would think that's all part of it. From a West Virginia standpoint, I've already said, I think Jake Spavital, who is the offensive coordinator there and who is believed by many around the country to be one of the brightest minds in all of college football offensively, who took the Texas State job, I would go Manny Diaz him in. I would reel him in, or I would go Kendall Briles. Those would be my two guys for West Virginia, because I think you have to take somebody who's younger, somebody who needs a job, somebody who's looking for an opportunity, because I just don't think any real big name is taking that job. Or even quasi big name. And I've heard some of the losers that have been suggested by other people in this industry. And I would not go in those directions at all. I mean, I think they need to continue the offensive philosophy. So it has to be an offensive mind. And therefore, again, either Spavital, who, you know, is the guy who was running the offense, or Kendall Briles, which would change the offense slightly, but you'd still be similar in scheme. John says, always well, thank you for entertaining and answering my texts. You're much too kind to me. No, John, I always appreciate your questions. Your questions are always intelligent and well thought out. My pleasure. Let me tell you something. I may be this or that, but I try and be accommodating. I mean, when I see questions that people ask me, I try and answer them. I try and answer your questions on Twitter, but that's why I have like a no nonsense policy on Twitter, because I'm taking my free time to do that. But I try and respond to the best I can to all of you. And I consider all of you my friends. By the way, friends, I'm at Twin Peaks tomorrow. So come on out and see me. If you listen to the show, if you like the show, the way you support that, the way you show that is you come out to the events. So I'm at Twin Peaks tomorrow. Come for the show. Stay for the after party. I'll be there all night. Chris and then Cliff, two really smart guys. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. Well, how are you?
Good, Chris. Appreciate you getting in, as always.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. And if I wasn't 300 and plus miles away from you right now, I'd be at Twin Peaks.
I got you.
Tomorrow.
I know you would.
First of all, I'd like to say great call by Dave. Prayers out to the Tyler Trent family. Just an extraordinary young man and all the things that he went through. And just to be able to portray such a brave front to so many folks just speaks volumes for him.
Yeah, and again, I think that his impact will be long felt, and I suspect we will all benefit from his life.
Absolutely. So, Walt, you already know my opinion on the hire. I mentioned it was a lazy hire when it was done the other day. It is what it is at this point. I followed that program, not just football, but basketball, baseball, for a long time, and I won't leave just because of what that is. It is what it is. At this point, all I can do is support him and support him and what he's done. At least he has a pulse. He has energy, something that Rick did not have. So hopefully that'll translate into something.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I buy that, and I'll buy the fact that at least he's recognized that there have been issues with offense and that there hasn't been a quarterback in a long time. Are you hearing, what have you heard about offensive coordinator? Is the Fedora talk what's coming out of Miami, or is there anyone else in that conversation that you know of?
There's several. What I've heard thus far is there's a strong possibility with Fedora potentially taking the Temple job, shockingly enough. If that doesn't happen, he apparently is first choice. I've also heard that Major Applewhite would be strong consideration.
Let me stop. Let me stop you there. All right, that's a no. All right, you can't hire Major Applewhite. Houston fired Major Applewhite because they hated him offensively. Look, here's what happened at Houston. They hired Major Applewhite. They didn't like anything he did. And then they basically told him, look, you need an offensive coordinator now. He went and got Kendall Briles. Kendall Briles came in and turned everything around for him. And then when Briles decided to go, Houston basically said, okay, well, we don't want you anymore now because now you don't have Kendall Briles anymore. So I don't see Major Applewhite as an answer to the offensive coordinator situation.
I completely agree. There's a couple of other names that are floating around out there. One individual you just mentioned that went to Texas State that was at West Virginia.
Spavital.
Yes.
Okay.
His name has popped up.
All right. If you land Spavital, then I'll take back some of the things I said. I think Spavital would give you exactly the type of life and bright offensive mind that you need.
I agree. Now, let me ask you this. So the reason why I'm impressed by the fact that he didn't stick with status quo from a perspective of, one, obviously the offensive staff for sure, but also strength and conditioning coach. They didn't spend a lot of time in the weight room just by looking at all the players. I mean, it's just looking at them, it just says they eat a lot but don't do a lot of workout. At the end of the day, he's gone. They're going to get a new one. They didn't stick status quo with going ahead and having co-defensive coordinators. He's bumped both of those two individuals back down, and he's apparently bringing in a DC. The name that has popped up in regards to that is a gentleman from Louisiana Tech. I believe his name is Blake Baker. Yeah. What do you think about him?
I think he's done a nice job on that level. I think that's a good football program, and I think he's done a quality job. I don't know. That one's a little more difficult for me to evaluate at this point. It's almost like I need to see that on this level first, to be sure of that. But, I mean, I think he can coach. I think he's done a good job at that level.
Understood. Well, it'll be definitely interesting to see what transpires from here. He hopes to have everybody in place before the next 10 days is over. So we'll see. We'll see.
So is he willing to – I mean, it sounds like he's willing to run sort of an up-tempo spread offense.
He said today in his press conference that as they introduced him as the head coach officially – that he wants the offense to be up-tempo and what he considers to be edgy.
Well, again, not much of the nation knows who Jake Spavital is. I have followed his career for a long time. He's a young guy. Spavital's only like 31 or something of that sort. I don't know exactly, but he's in that range. And he's insiders know that Spavital is a really bright offensive mind. I think there's been some other talk about him, about maybe some other concerns or whatever. I don't know. But in terms of brain trust and knowing and being creative in up-tempo spread offenses, I think Spavital is one of the bright young minds in all of college football, and a guy that people do not know. But if Manny Diaz can bring Spavital in, then suddenly you're interesting to me.
Gotcha. Well, Walt, as always, thank you very much for your time. Take care.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll leave this for everybody. I got a lot of friends that are Clemson Tiger fans. Go Tigers Monday night.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call. Cliff in Spartanburg. Cliff, how are you?
Hey, Walt, thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting in. As always, Cliff, love you. I love having you on.
Hey, Walt, after 4 years, I'll always follow the program, but I've cheered my last game as a Stanford Cardinal and cheered for probably the most frustratingly successful coach in all of college football, David Shaw. I don't even know how to explain it, Walt. It's almost like Virginia basketball where – despite all the talent, you just insistent on playing in the 40s, or in Stanford's case, the teens, and winning by 2 and 3. And it's incredible. Well, Stanford had 2 drives the whole game that produced first downs, and they were the 2 touchdown drives. They punted like 9 or 10 times. And, you know, I don't know what the A-gap did to David Shaw, but he pounds the A-gap with predictability and resilience that no one on this earth has ever seen. And
I don't know what the A-gap did to David Shaw. That is brilliant.
But I love the school, Walt. I'll always love the program. There's no glory in a 1-point victory in the Sun Bowl, but when you risk your future to produce half of your team's yards, I would like to give a quick nod out to him for playing in that game. And Walt, one quick thought from Monday's game.
You can say his name. There's no rule against you saying his name.
Yeah, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I'm just not into self-promotion. But yeah, J.J., a local doorman, from the same small town of Inman, South Carolina, as Debo Samuel. So a town with 2 stoplights will have 2 top-3 round wide receivers this year. And, yeah, so proud of them, Walt. But
should be.
I'll leave with some thoughts on the Monday game. We've always talked about the receiver depth versus the DB depth, and I think we'll see that on both sides on Monday.
Exactly.
I worry about both offensive lines' ability to protect their quarterback, partly because of Tua's injury. On Clemson's side, it's the insistence on running that shotgun play action, even on passing down, that just it keeps them from dropping back an extra half second. I'm not sure they have. And you know, Boston College had success with the bull rush against Clemson, and even if Miller sits out and they lose their best speed rusher, I worry a little bit about Bama's ability to collapse the pocket versus the speed rush. But I'm predicting a shootout. I think Bama's the better team, but I think Clemson has the better playmakers on the outside if Clemson safeties don't get abused by Judy. So should be a close one, Walt. It's the one we've all waited for. Hope you have a good one.
Great job, Cliff. Well done. Well done. I don't know what the A-gap did to David Shaw, but he insists on abusing it. That's well done. You know, I will admit that David Shaw has become the most hyper-conservative coach in America. I mean, he just has. I mean, David Shaw is, you know, to the right of Attila. I mean, David Shaw just takes no chances. Anytime he has a lead, he just goes into clock-killing mode. It doesn't matter that the leads aren't safe at all, especially against the Stanford defense that wasn't great. But that's who he is. I've long thought David Shaw would wind up in the NFL. I almost wonder whether to some extent, this is sort of ridiculous to say because the guy just wins. And he's won at such an incredibly high percentage there. And he's really done a remarkable job. And it's hard to argue with a guy who just wins, but especially at a school like Stanford, where winning football is not really a part of their heritage. That's a recent innovation. But I don't know. I don't know whether we've passed his expiration date. It sort of feels that way. I'm going to be interested to see what the next 4 or 5 years bring with David Shaw, especially in a changing Pac-12, which now has some new blood in the coaching stream. And you're going to see some programs come back to life like at Oregon. I wonder about that. Not sure. Let me tell you about Priority One. About David Shaw's future, let me tell you about Priority One. Priority One, you know, they're fighting the fight in this state. I mean, they matched every dollar we raised in our Tigers for Tatas campaign the last 2 years. They wrote big checks. This money's not just staying locally, but it's going fundamentally to help all of us. I mean, we are going to have women in our lives with breast cancer, whether they're family, whether they're friends, whether they're relatives. This is what Priority One has done. So from a standpoint of quality of people, you want to deal with them. That's not enough. They need to be good at what they do. The good news is they're great at what they do. Tip of the spear in technology, fastest response time in the industry, total customization. This is Priority One. They're waiting to help you. We live in a dangerous world. I watched the news today, Ramona. Honestly, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable the madness of the world that we're living in. I'm not telling you what to do or when to do it. Security is a personal decision. I'm here to give you the number. 288-1400, 288-1400, 288-1400. Do with it what you will. Quick break. Big Bad Bob, you're up next. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. We'll be right back.
It's time for the 2018 year-end closeout sale at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Over 100 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock, plus 45 years of location experience. If they don't have it, they can find it. The Edwards family was recently voted Oconee's best new and used dealer for 2018 for the 8th year in a row. Remember, no dealer fees, and ask about the low price guarantee. Get in on all the year-end savings at Edwards Auto Sales on Blue Ridge Drive in Walhalla.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's makes it easy for pros to save on the supplies they need. Save on your next kitchen or bathroom job with 40% off select American Olean tile and enhance the look of any popper. Plus, you can save time by ordering what you need at lowesforpros.com and pick up your order in-store. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through February 9th, 2019, while supplies last, U.S. only.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca would like to invite you to shop our end of the year sale. From now until January 5th, save an additional percentage off our already low prices, and you still get your box spring free. And that's not all. For a limited time, if you purchase a premium queen or full-size mattress, you qualify to get an adjustable base for free. Don't miss out on these incredible deals. The end of the year sale at Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located off Highway 123 in Seneca, across from Chick-fil-A.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Texter writes, the A-gap is open on 3rd and 21. That's true. It is. Maybe that's why David Shaw frequents it as much as he does. Ramona, Super Dave Osborne died.
Who is that? I know that name, but I don't know who
he's
that
Super
is.
Super Dave Osborne. I don't know how to describe Super Dave Osborne.
I'll look it up.
He was also known as Bob Einstein. That's his real name. Bob Einstein, who played the role of Super Dave Osborne. Super Dave Osborne used to be like on the David Letterman show and things like that. Had did like stunts and things or something of that sort. Oh. Also, you know who else died? Mean Gene Okerlund. Again, Ramona, giving me the okay. I have no idea what you're talking. You don't know who Mean Gene Okerlund was?
No.
Are you from this country?
Yep.
You're from America? Are you sure you're from America?
Yep.
No idea who Mean Gene Okerlund was? I mean, Mean Gene Okerlund was like the all-time wrestling announcer. Mean Gene was 76, died at 76. Mean Gene was famous. I mean, really, really famous. He might be the most famous announcer type ever. Texas is great comedian on Super Dave Osborne. I know he was in that Curb Your Enthusiasm thing. I never saw that. Who did we just lose there, Ramona?
I don't know.
You put him up. All right, let's go to Roger. You can get in if you want. 654.
It was Bob.
Oh, yeah. What happened to Bob? Bob, you're up right now. That's right. It was Bob. Roger, how are you?
Hey, Walt. This is Roger, hey. Not Bob.
Right. I know. How you doing, Roger?
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't. I heard something. I didn't know.
No, you
were going to me.
No. Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, no. Super Dave Osborne. Just real quick, I'm not going to go on about him. He was hilarious. I remember watching him in the '80s. He used to bust up Johnny Carson and David Letterman. He was sort of ahead of his time. He was sort of. He wasn't doing the stunts really, but the way they cut the film was really funny. It's on YouTube. He was a pioneer, and so was Mean Gene was a pioneer. Mean Gene was from Nebraska, or he went to broadcasting it in Nebraska. I heard that today. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, but Super Dave was hilarious. He was, it was slapstick stunts that he did, but like I said, the way they cut the film, all these impossible stunts, it made it. It's just funny. So, check it out sometime. But I remember him from the '80s. I'm trying. This is my proposal, because for so many years in a row now, and yesterday was another one. I've watched these New Year's Day bowls, which I used to enjoy so much, when just about every bowl back in the day meant something. Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. I can remember when there'd be two great games going on at the same time, like when Nebraska used to play Florida State
right
back in the 80s.
Right.
Or Nebraska was playing Miami, and Georgia was playing Pitt.
And you were flicking channels or something?
Well, at that time, I'd have to run up on the roof and move the antenna so I could pick up the dadgum. You had four channels back then, 4, 7, 13, and maybe on a good day, channel 21 or something. But, Penn State, Nebraska would be on, or Penn State, Georgia, or Miami versus, Nebraska or something like that would be on the Fiesta or the Orange Bowl. And at the same time, you'd have a Sugar Bowl going on. This is my proposal, and I know nobody's going to like this idea because it's going to put more power in a committee, but it's not really – this is what I would do. I have one solution that solves two problems. Number one, I would have, four or five bowl games, and you would have matchups similar to what we have already. You would have Texas-Georgia. You would have Clemson, Oklahoma, or maybe Clemson, somebody else. But we would go back to many, many bowls that would be very watchable. And these would be after conference championships. I mean, nothing would change in the regular season. That's what I love about college football is the regular season. But even now it seems like the conference championships have been sort of cheapened. And I hate to see that going in a trend that way. But all these bowls will be played, and then after these bowls are played, the AP poll, the coaches poll, and a committee would certainly play a part. I hate to say it, but yeah, because I'm against going to 18. I'm firmly against that. So this is my solution. After all these games are played,
why are you against it? I think we've had these conversations 18? Before. Yeah, why? I mean,
I'm beginning to think that it's a punishment for the top one or two teams to have to play a 7 or 8 team and not be rewarded for the excellent season like this year. To me,
what if the 7th or 8th team experienced some hardship during the year, like their quarterback was injured or something, and they come back
part
from
of the
that?
Game.
Well, yeah, but at the NFL
That's
level,
part of the game.
Yeah, but Roger, at the NFL level, it's part of the game too, but you still have a chance to come back from unfortunate situations and rebound, and you get in, and you can still go win the Super Bowl.
Well, at the NFL level, they're getting paid, guaranteed contracts.
The problem is we're making assumptions. But we're making assumptions about the 1 and 2 team. I mean, we have been inundated with the assumption that Georgia was one of the two or three best teams in the country. We've been inundated by that. Well, I think it turns out, at least to most of us who aren't employed at the 4-letter network, that's probably not the case, that opinion was probably wrong.
Well, that's why, again, I like 4, because I don't think Georgia was one of the 4 best teams, and I don't think a team that – and it's not just going to be Georgia. This has happened – it happened to Alabama years ago. These teams – if they don't get to what they want, they show up at their bowl with poopy pants and cry and whine, and then they don't give an effort. And a team like Texas totally outplays them. But maybe
yeah, but
Texas
see, but
is
that,
not.
But that's – look, that's
– I think Texas is pretty close to Georgia in talent.
That's accepting of the company line. I mean, Georgia showed up for the game. They lost because Texas was more physical. And one of the reasons Texas is more physical is they're more experienced. Their players are older. Georgia is a young football team in many areas, and I think that was one of the things that was demonstrated in that game. And so, and now of course the people who had previously voiced the notion that Georgia was one of the two or three best teams, now it's that Georgia didn't want to be there.
I just want to keep it at 4 because I think we're asking these kids to slam their bodies around.
Yeah.
18 means 3
well,
games.
Look, I think that's a legitimate argument. I think it's a legitimate argument to suggest that as you keep expanding the number of games played, that you may not being fair to amateur athletes.
Yeah. What I'm suggesting, although not quite close to the BCS, is a BCS with a plus one game, where you would have all these bowls played, and among all these great bowls, then it goes to another, because I used to love the coaches' poll. I liked it when there was a tie for the national championship sometime, because the committee right now, as we know it, this committee for this championship series, they love argument and they love debate. Let's not get it twisted. They love these debates. They love the controversy. This will even fuel, add more to that. After all these bowl games are played, a committee, along with the coaches' poll and along with the AP poll, would decide who the best two teams are after all this, all these other bowl games are played. And then there would be a game between those two teams. And yes, someone's going to have upset feelings. We're going to have upset feelings if we don't go to eight teams. I just don't think eight is right. But in my scenario, every bowl game pretty much would matter. We would all get to see all these bowl games played with intensity, and teams would not just go up there for a check and do a walkthrough for 60 minutes. You would see an intensity and you would see effort in these bowl games. And then after all that's done, I know everybody's going to hate the idea, but you would take the votes, and then if the committee would also look at it and say, this is our recommendation, and then there would be a consensus, or at least close to it, of a one versus a two. I would like that. Maybe some people don't, but I would.
Yeah, I'm going to call that National Jump Off a Bridge Day.
But look what we have. I mean, but... Do you agree that this committee does like controversy and debate?
I think there's always some of that. But look, you have a system right now. Again, it's just in many ways the worst system we've ever had. There are zero rules. There's nothing that they're held to. There are no standards that they're held to. I mean, it's utterly laughable. You wouldn't even run a softball league like this. I mean, in my system,
a UCF would have a faster path, and I know they got beat by LSU, but a team like that would have a faster path to get to a championship game than what we have now, which is no path.
Yeah, I may be right.
If they were to, yeah.
Roger, I got to run.
I think so. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Roger. Let's go back to the phones. It's Big Bad Bob and then Travis. Bob, how are you, Bob? Oh, Bob! Bob!
Hello.
Bob,
what's going on, Walt?
How are you today, Bob? Twin Peaks tomorrow, everybody.
I'm doing
everybody.
Fine, Walt.
Twin Peaks
like
tomorrow. Twin Peaks. Yeah.
But Twin Peaks tomorrow, yeah. I'll be there. I thought I was going to have to take my sister somewhere, but I'll be there.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but, I felt sorry for Uga, but I think they figured out they were having a coin flip. Did you hear the, did you watch the video?
I watched the video, yeah.
The video of Uga and that bull?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The seer?
Yeah.
Well, they had Walt Garrison's grandson there taking care of the steer.
Is that a true story? Then all I can tell you is he's not nearly as tough as Walt Garrison was.
No. Well, that's... Listen, Uga, I don't know if you noticed that, but that leash action on him, Uga was... Bulldog was supposed to bite a bull's nose
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Uga didn't seem like it cared anything about the bull.
No.
But when it moved toward him, I think the leash action, that dog is really fast. But it could have turned out another way, so yeah. I'm glad everything's okay. But, I was just going to tell you about the whole year you've had so many good picks and on the money and spot on so many analysis. I wanted to give you the bell. That's what I was trying to give you the other day. You hear this?
It sounds like a bicycle bell. Like the 1970s. That's a little weak, Bob. That bell's a little weak. What happened to Bob? Bob?
Where'd he go? He can't do the bell and talk at the same time.
Apparently not. He must have been pedaling away. as he gave us the bell. Swamp Fox sent me this. Man, are you kidding me? Steve Levy wrote, "You ever notice nobody on Twitter ever just says, hey, great job? No, Steve. There are lots of people who say, hey, great job. All the time. All the time on Twitter. You know when people say it, Steve? When you do a great job. You know when they don't say it? When you're a full of crap propagandist homer who ought to be ashamed to call himself a professional. And I'm going to write you that in like 2 minutes as soon as I get off the air. I'm going to write you that exact thing. I'm going to answer your question for you, Steve. Because you were part of the worst broadcast in collegiate football history. You should be ashamed of yourself. Absolutely ashamed of yourself. And the thing is, I actually used to think you did a pretty decent job. No more. No more. I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you. So if you're expecting people to pat you on the shoulder and tell you you did a great job as part of that team during that LSU Central Florida broadcast, you'd be waiting a long time. Unless it's an LSU fan or an SEC fan. I suppose, you know, you can take comfort and solace in them. The rest of us oxygen-breathing humans know better. You're a disgrace. Disgrace to the profession. Quick break. Travis, I'm coming right to you on the other side. Walt Tiptula Road Rage.
Mice and rats are more active and bigger nuisances this time of the year. They want to be cozy in your home where it's nice and warm. We're here to kick them out. At Clark's, we specialize in keeping them where they belong. Call today to schedule an assessment on your home for rodent activity and possible entry points. Don't forget that we have one of the most detailed pest control services in the industry and also offer termite and wildlife control services. Call 864-233-2847 or visit clarkspest.com today.
Four Paws American Pub, Clemson's newest spot for delicious house-made dishes like pan-fried trout, hot wings, juicy burgers, and more. Located on Highway 93 in front of the Courtyard Marriott. Made fresh with local ingredients, Four Paws' diverse menu will fit any craving or time of day. Tigers are making tracks to Four Paws to catch a game on the 20 big-screen HD TVs. Call 654-5151 to place your to-go order. Four Paws American Pub, locally owned and operated by Clemson grads. Go Tigers!
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca would like to invite you to shop our end of the year sale. From now until January 5th, save an additional percentage off our already low prices and you still get your box spring free. And that's not all. For a limited time, if you purchase a premium queen or full-size mattress, you qualify to get an adjustable base for free. Don't miss out on these incredible deals. The end of the year sale at Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located off Highway 123 in Seneca, across from Chick-fil-A.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. Like with the AutoZone Rewards Program, you'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. It's just one more way to get more done. And right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy a Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Twin Pack or 2 single packs purchased on the same sales receipt. Visit any of our 5,600 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Are you kidding me right now?
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Diptula, Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. So Steve Levy, again, thank you for forwarding that to me. But Steve Levy wrote, you ever notice nobody on Twitter ever just says, hey, great job. Happy New Year to all. And I did respond. During the break, I had a time to type this. I wrote, perhaps it's because you were one half of the most embarrassing, over-the-top propagandist broadcast in history the other day. Absolutely shameful. By a mirror, study what you have become. Honestly, I have zero respect for you. Zero. I think you're like, I think it's unfortunate that you're sucking oxygen. I've been in this, doing this a long time. I have never seen a broadcast like that. Never. Never. Absolutely disgraceful. And I get that they're writing your paychecks fundamentally, but you know what? There comes a point where you just have to say when. And if you are being compelled to conduct yourself in that way, there are other jobs. Move on. Because your self-respect has to be worth more than that. You and Brian Greasy were absolute disgraces to the industry the other day. Again, I can't even think of anything that's comparable. I've seen many of these broadcasts in which they've conducted themselves in similar fashion, but the agenda here was patently obvious. It was to denigrate, downplay, squash Central Florida every way you could and advance the cause in a propagandist nature of LSU in every fashion that you could. I mean, the broadcast, you could not listen to it. And people have told me the radio broadcast was the exact same way. I mean, would you have conducted yourself, Steve, that in that manner if your son attended the University of Central Florida? Or would you have had enough common sense then to recognize that, hey, those kids are someone's sons too? Honestly, right now, I view you as a despicable maggot. And I would tell you that to your face. Utterly shameful. Utterly shameful. I have zero respect for either one of those characters. Go trip over a cat. Travis and Anderson. Travis, how are you?
Doing good, Walt. How about you?
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate you getting in.
And by the way, I agree with you on that broadcast. I watched that game yesterday, and yeah, it wasn't pretty. But I just wanted to weigh in a couple things real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, on the playoff that the guy was talking earlier about, that he wasn't a fan of expanding because it would punish the top team. My opinion is, if you're the top team, then you're supposed to beat all competition that comes your way, whether there's 8 teams or 65 teams to go through. You know, that's if you're the best, you're the best, and you should be ready to meet competition head on.
And that extends the proof too. You know, that you get a bigger challenge, and then we find out if you're actually the top team.
Exactly. And I'm actually a fan of a 16 team playoff is what I wish they would go to. I doubt if I'll ever see that, but that's what I'm proponent for. But another thing about the Texas Georgia game, you brought up something. I heard you say something about, you know, what if a team falls on hardship throughout the year? If I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Texas's quarterback hurt for the 4 games they lost? 3 of those 4 games, wasn't he hurt?
I don't I don't think he was hurt for three of those four games. I don't know. I have to think about that. I mean, they lost they lost the Maryland game early. And I, quite honestly, I don't even remember much about that game other than it was another high-scoring loss. They lost consecutive years to Maryland.
I just, you know, when I watched him, which honestly, that's the first chance I've had chance to see Texas play. And I was really impressed with their defense. And that quarterback, my boy, he's a Georgia fan, and he come in before the game started. He told me, he said, that quarterback scares me. And I said, why? I mean, I didn't know nothing about him. I said, why does he scare you? He said, Dave, I had a fantasy. He said, I was involved in a fantasy league. He said, I picked him because there was no other quarterbacks to pick. And he said, I was kind of, my back was against the wall. And he said, I picked him out of necessity. And he said, this dude put up some points in my fantasy league. He said, I'm telling you, he said, he's better than what everybody thinks.
I know he was, I know he was banged up late in the year. And remember, Texas played Oklahoma. Here's another thing for the Georgia fans of Georgia. Texas played Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game, and Oklahoma won that game, I want to say by 10, whatever it was, around 10. And Oklahoma put up over 500 yards on that Texas defense. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think Texas played really well. And I look, in the bigger picture at the end of the year here, given the health of Ellinger, given the fact he is healthy, I mean, I think Texas clearly, you know, one of the 7-8 best teams in the country at this point in the season.
Yeah, I just watched them. It was like I was really impressed. But anyway, that was my thoughts on throwing in. Enjoy listening to your show. I try to get in when I can, man.
Excellent
job.
Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it. Texas says, I think it reflects worse on the four-letter network than the broadcasters. Every four-letter network broadcast is like that. Well, maybe, but you don't have to take it. I mean, you know, if somebody is compelling you to do something that you know isn't right, then you don't have to do it. I mean, it's a big world. I grant you, there may be more opportunities there and it may be an issue of financial stability. I get that to an extent, but there also comes a point where you would think as a thinking, living, breathing human that you'd say, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'll find someplace else to work. You're not going to dictate to me your policy and expect me to be your henchman and enforce it on air, because that's what it looked like. And that's what it sounded like. It looked to me like you had two guys on air who were following a directive about how to manage that game, about how to broadcast that game. I don't see how anyone could have watched that and come away with any other conclusion. I just thought it was reprehensible. It was so totally one-sided. It was clear what the agenda was. The agenda was to squash all things Central Florida and to promote all things LSU. And they were compelled to tell us on every single stinking play that LSU was injured. And they recited the litany of LSU's injuries all game. Meanwhile, telling us over and over and over again, see, this is why Central Florida doesn't belong, because they can't handle this. Never mentioning the fact that Central Florida beat a healthy Auburn team last year, and we had already seen them do that. They acted like that game had never been played. And they largely ignored Mackenzie Milton, who was sitting over there on the sideline. I just thought, again, I've done this a long time. I have never seen anything like that. And if I was a parent of one of those Central Florida players, I'd be outraged. Absolutely out of my mind. Out of my mind. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good, Walt. You know, it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, just listening to the Carolina game. You know, I can't stand to hear, even on a Carolina game, when Tommy Suggs goes, that's just not like an SEC defense. So we're just not playing like an SEC team. And I'm going, Dude, y'all never played like an SEC team except for the 3 years that Clowney was there. I mean, seriously, dude. I mean, when you say that on your own broadcast, that's almost as bad as, you know, and I get your point about Greasy and them. It's like, why are you even sucking up, dude? You're a Michigan guy.
Right.
I don't get that.
Right. Basically means to my way of thinking, it means you've totally sold out. I mean, that's what it is.
Well, it's kind of like,
you're a total sellout. How can a Michigan guy be running that stuff?
Well, I guess after watching his team play, I'd be wanting to sell something else too. You know, I mean, they were the, like you said all year, they tried to sell us that bull about how great that Michigan defense was and how great they are and all this stuff. I'm willing to bet you could ask Brian Kelly today, and if you could get him in a room by himself, because he won't ever do this publicly because he's too big of a horse's behind, that Clemson's defense is five times better than Michigan's as far as up front.
Oh, yeah.
Even with Rashard Gary in there. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know. And by the way, I was yesterday ESPN was showing that airlift thing that he did for the kid who passed away on those 50 mile per hour wind gusts. And I told my mom, I said, there is no way in HE double hockey sticks I would ever let my son or daughter do anything near that guy, because he sent that kid up there and he should have never been up there. And it's just a crime shame. If nobody's seen that, they need to go watch it on E60.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He should be fired, and they should sue the University of Notre Dame for that.
I remember, so, you know, I don't remember all of the details of that story.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I do know that he continued with practice. And, you know, maybe above all else, that's the thing that bothered me the most.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's getting justified what's getting done to him now, because, I mean, every time he goes to one of these big bowl games, they go right back.
Allegedly, according to some reports, he's a leading candidate in Tampa Bay, so he may not be going to any more bowl games.
Well, you know, the last time they hired a college guy, how'd that work out?
Yeah. No, you're right. And by the way, if you're going to hire a college guy, that guy wouldn't be my first choice.
Please take him just to get him out of the college game, because he's not what the college game is about. I mean, seriously, he's just not.
You know,
I mean, he doesn't care about
it. You know, let me tell you something else. He had some issue too back when he was in the MAC. People would have to research that one. But if memory serves, and I don't remember the details of it, but back when he was in the MAC a long time ago, he had some issue, I believe, with a player or two dying back then. I mean, you'd have to go research that one. Again, it may not have been something he was actually responsible for, but it was a story at the time.
Yeah, I bet you Notre Dame sometimes, after that incident happened, they go, man, you know what, we should have just stuck with George O'Leary. Someone would be lying on his transfer. Someone if he didn't play at the University of New Hampshire. Why do anybody want to play there anyway? They're not on TV.
That's pretty funny. They're playing on TV.
Never?
That's well done, Matt. Thank you for that.
The Fox Sports Regional Network channel from 84, you know.
Thank you, Matt.
You
good
get
job.
It on your satellite. It's channel number 721.
That's right. That's right next to the darts. Yep. Thank you, Matt.
Or bowling.
That's right. Thank you, Matt. Well done. By the way, everyone, Ted has always posted these photos of his dart throwing on my Twitter feed. Of his grouping, I guess they call it. Of his grouping of darts. I'm not exactly sure what they call it. Yeah, but Brian Kelly, there's talk of Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. And then, of course, that opens up, would Urban Meyer be taking the Notre Dame job? Urban Meyer just told
us. He's supposed to be done, according to him.
Yeah, Urban Meyer just told us the other day, after beating Washington, that he was done. And there were articles today that his wife wants him to be done. But if that Notre Dame thing suddenly opens, we'll see how long he's done for.
Oh, goodness.
Because, look, that's where they're going first, I think. I would think if that thing opens up, and you wonder, you know, Kelly again, you have to wonder whether Brian Kelly's starting to think that, hey, man, we're really not good enough, you know, and we're not going to be good enough to beat these teams like Clemson and Alabama and the like. I don't know. You know, meanwhile, in New York Giants circles, Dave Gettleman had a meeting with Eli Manning in which he said it was a no holds barred meeting. Then he said, you know, I'm not going to discuss any of the things we got into. Well, I think you just did, Dave. I think when he told us it was a no holds barred meeting, I think then we know that Eli Manning will not be back with the Giants next year. That's a given. Walt up to the Road Rage. Twin Peaks tomorrow. Come on out.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.
I'm Rich Ackerman. The coaching carousel turns with several of the eight teams looking for coaches, talking to potential ones, as the Jets have opened up their coaching search and talked to their first potential candidate today in Eric Bieniemy. The Chiefs offensive coordinator also met with the Bucs and will also meet with the Dolphins and Bengals over the next couple of days.